Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loans Studios.
And back to Tony D.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, recapping the NBA trade deadline. I kept waiting for the big punch, but we didn't really get it. But what did we get? And what does this mean going forward? Jeremy Wu joins us from SI.com to talk a little NBA. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. What's up?
All right, so like I said, I was waiting for the big punch. I didn't really get it. I got to be honest with you. I didn't know if one was even going to come because I didn't really feel like anything was going to be moving. But what overall, how did you feel about trade deadline, and is there any major winner today?
Definitely. Well, you know, I think for one, I think the market's a little bit weird right now. I think a lot of it might have to do with just the cap going up. You know, there's so many more destinations in free agency this year, and you know, teams are going to have money that I think it's much less attractive to commit to a guy like an Al Horford or Dwight Howard, not knowing if they're going to resign, just knowing that, you know, there's so much more temptation to at least test the open market this year. So I think that could be a factor. Also, you know, the Warriors are dominating everyone. You know, who's going to win a title but them right now? You know, it's kind of definitely a sort of a 3 or 4 team race right now. So I think that's also more defined. But if I had to pick a winner, I mean, I think Detroit made out well. I like the risk toward moves that they made, adding guys like, you know, Tobias Harris and Mota Junis. I think those moves will pay off long term. I also like what the Grizzlies did, in a sense, just sort of understanding their position, taking a step back and getting picks for a couple expiring contracts.
I like what you said about the Warriors, because I think that seemed to be the overall feeling of, hey, let's not get risky, let's not get crazy. Were teams really guarded at trying to find that extra piece because of where Golden State may be in the realm of championship quality?
Yeah, I think that theory is totally plausible. I mean, you know, I'm not talking to any GMs about this, but I think if you do look at just like sort of, it's kind of their moment and it's kind of their window, and I think that, you know, unless you're a team like the Spurs where you're not going to shake it up anyway, or you're the Cavs where you got to go for broke no matter what, and you saw the Cavs make a, you know, nice little move at Channing Frye, unless you're one of those types of teams, and I guess to a lesser degree Oklahoma City, who on another note I was sort of surprised wasn't more aggressive, but unless you're one of those teams, I mean, I think it's easy to justify, you know, waiting a little bit, you know, waiting for the open market in June and seeing what you can do then.
Since we're talking about kind of tweaks and additions, tell me about Channing Frye to Cleveland. What does that do for the Cavaliers?
Definitely. I think that on one hand, it sort of provides sort of a very interesting look for them if they want to play Love and Frye at the same time. In the sense, you know, both of them are good shooters. You can sort of pick and pop. If you want to use LeBron in the post, you kind of can. You have size. He's not a great defender defensively. It's, again, going to... It kind of contributes to the sort of same problem we've seen with them. And sort of they have weird lineups, and it's not going to solve that issue at all. But I think it's definitely a wrinkle that gives them definitely an option that I think they're hoping will pay off in terms of being able to, you know, run pick and pops. And in the playoffs, just adding another shooter is never going to hurt. So I think it was a calculated decision, definitely.
Jeremy Wu joins us, SI.com, on the NBA trade deadline. From Dwight Howard's standpoint, how much did the fact that Dwight Howard wants to be a free agent next year, so he wasn't really going to commit after this season, play into the fact that nobody went after him, nobody could get him?
Yeah, I think it was kind of the perfect storm of, you know, that probably that anxiety about not being able to re-sign him, but also just the fact that, like, you know, I think there's still a lot of risk built in. You know, the situation in Houston, you know, obviously isn't going great. And it seems like Howard has sort of been, you know, from the different reports, it appears he's been sort of part of that. You know, he's been the guy, you know, he didn't get along with Stan Mangani in Orlando. You know, so he has a history of, you know, sometimes being a tough guy in the locker room. So I think that, and also just the fact that, well, he's 30 now, you know, he's obviously, when motivated and healthy, he's still really, really good, and I think he'll help someone next year wherever he ends up. But I think there's risk built in, and that plus the, you know, not knowing what you're going to get if he's going to be around was too big of a red flag to commit resources to him.
Again, kind of talking about tweaks here with teams, Jeff Green to Los Angeles, so you like that deal for the Clippers?
I think that, you know, giving up a first, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, it's so far in the future and it's protected, so I think that it's a calculated gamble. I don't mind it. I think they, you know, they are also in a position where I think the Clippers are convinced they're going to go for it. And I think this is definitely an indicator of that. You know, they've got a lot of, you know, all their guys are in the prime or past it. You know, and they have the type of core where I think they are gearing up to take one last run. You know, whether that's advisable or not, given the quality of the rest of the teams in the West, it's such a say. But you definitely see the thinking, and I think that Green is a, you know, a good scorer. He's shown very streaky, but when he's good, he's been great for Memphis, and he's a guy who can win you games. So I think adding another weapon like that, especially with the hole they had at small forward, is probably wise.
Who today did enough to sort of get their future going, maybe getting rid of some players, stocking up on picks, but basically saying, look, we got a future. We need tools today for that future. Who did the best with that?
Yeah, I think in terms of positioning going forward, I really like what Detroit did, I guess earlier this week, picking up Tobias Harris, and then today, they're essentially giving up probably it was going to be a first this year for Donatus Motiejunas. I mean, these guys are young, relatively, and all their core guys are 26 or under now. I think they're building a very dangerous team around Andre Drummond. And if you take into account that it seems like the hacking rules one way or another are going to be changed to sort of benefit the poor free throw shooters, I think that makes it even more dangerous. And they have a lot of talent. I love Stanley Johnson. I love, Reggie Jackson's really impressed with this year in terms of what he can do. And I think that they, Stan Van Gundy is a great coach. I think that they, they don't necessarily need to make the playoffs this year, to take that step. But I think they're pointing in the right direction. And now that they traded the pick, they have no reason but to go for it right now.
Jeremy Wu, SI.com. I was talking about this the other day about how the NBA has, as you and I have been talking about enough times, about a three-team, maybe four-team race to the finish with Golden State clearly on top. But what is lost with that is the fact that we don't have a really fun, wide-open Western Conference where the seventh team could be really dangerous. But because of the historic nature and the excellent play of Golden State, is the product hurt or is the product better today than it was when we had a wide-open Western Conference?
Definitely, yeah. Well, I think it's just different. I mean, in terms of watchability, it kind of depends what you're looking for. Like Utah's been kind of fun lately. That's one team I think is sort of making the climb. But, the Mavericks have been kind of on and off, and they're an older team. And, the Clippers have been good, but not always entertaining to watch. So I think in terms of the quality of the product, I mean, you could definitely argue that on whole it's down. But it kind of depends on what you're looking for. I mean, I was at a Nuggets-Nets game last week that broke out and into a really entertaining game out of nowhere. So I think if you're looking in the right places, if you really love watching basketball, I think there's definitely stuff to be found. But to the casual fan, I mean, on one hand, you've got Golden State, which is like instantly appealing, to someone who's never watched basketball, I would say. I think there's definitely two sides to that coin.
Because with Golden State and San Antonio, I mean, I feel like I'm going to get this great collision course, but I got to be honest with you, I kind of like that. I don't necessarily need the seventh or sixth or seventh teams to be good in the West. If you woke me, if you put me in a coma and woke me up and said Spurs and Golden State are your Western Conference Finals, that's good enough for me. I'd take it right now.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And man, I do kind of hope we get that series because we didn't get it last year. But I am curious to see, I guess, if the Spurs, and it's crazy to say, but if they have a chance, just based on the way they got blown out last time, the matchups are going to be difficult for them, but I think they already know what the problems are, and they're always so well-prepared that I think it'll definitely be a few. If we get the series, I think the Spurs are going to have to go through the Thunder, which could be tough, but it should be a lot of fun.
One final question on the trade deadline. Was there any surprising no moves for a team? Did you think that some team was going to be active and then was really quiet today?
Yeah, I was surprised Boston didn't find at least some type of move to make, I guess. But the more I think they were really angling to get a star player, and they didn't want to jeopardize what they do have. Ultimately, their team sort of has been peaking over the last few weeks, and I think ultimately that made it to the point where they were comfortable sitting on their hands. David Lee, I think as a buyout option, is a lot more attractive, and nobody really felt the need to take him on in the trade, knowing that they can get him as a likely buyout guy. But I did think Boston would, with all the picks they have, at least make some sort of minor move. But I think it just shows they're comfortable with what they have and they're comfortable sort of stockpiling right now. But that was one team that I thought, would have some type of role to play that didn't.
Jeremy Wu, SI.com. Always good talking with you, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Coming up, we talked about how Golden State impacted the trade deadline today, being so good, people didn't really want to make the move. Well, come back. We'll talk a little bit about Dwight Howard, how his stock has fallen over the last, just a couple of years. Just wasn't that long ago that Dwight Howard was kind of the toast of free agency. Remember how Kobe Bryant was giving him that you need to stay in LA if you want to win championships type of speech? Well, he went to Houston. It doesn't seem to be working out. Where could Dwight Howard be on the move and why he wasn't shipped today? We'll talk about that next and a lot more. It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio.